Streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. is paring down staffing levels at U.S. embassies in the Middle East. President Trump added,
they are being moved out because it could be a dangerous place, and we'll see what happens.
CBS News has learned that part of the reason for the leave advisories is that U.S. officials have been told Israel is fully ready to launch an operation into Iran. CBS's Linda Kenyon also reports,
citing the potential for regional unrest, the State Department has ordered non-essential personnel at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, along with their families, to leave. The embassy was already operating under limited staffing, so the order will not affect a large number of people. At the same time, though, non-essential personnel and family members have been urged to leave Bahrain and Kuwait. Tensions have been growing in the region amid talks between the U.S. and Iran over its nuclear program. Those talks seem to have reached an impasse. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Coming out of talks in London between the U.S. and China, an apparent trade framework. CBS's Erica Brown.
The president said the U.S. will keep a 55% tariff on Chinese imports, while China will keep a 10% tariff on American goods. Trump also said Beijing will supply the U.S. with magnets and rare earth minerals, which are vital to a number of industries.
A small stretch of downtown Los Angeles is set to fall under a curfew for a second night. CBS's Danya Backus reports.
The Justice Department announced the first federal charges in connection with the protest. Two men are in custody accused of throwing Molotov cocktails at law enforcement.
We're coming after all these people. Our community must be kept safe for peaceful protests and against thugs and criminals looking to start trouble.
U.S. Attorney Bill Assaley. The Trump administration continues ICE raids with the National Guard playing a supporting role for ICE. At his retrial, a jury has found Harvey Weinstein guilty of one count of a criminal sex act against Miriam Haley and has acquitted him of the same charge against another woman. Haley saying outside of court,
today's verdict gives me hope. Hope that there is new awareness around sexual violence and that the myth of the perfect victim is fading. And I hope that this result empowers others to speak out and seek justice.
The jury tomorrow will deliberate on a rape charge. One of the Beach Boys has died. Brian Wilson was considered the genius behind the Southern California beach sound, with hits including Good Vibrations, Surfin' USA, and Brian Wilson at times struggled with mental illness and addiction. His family has asked for privacy in announcing his death today at the age of 82. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers fall to the Braves.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers lost to the Braves today, 6-2. Milwaukee right-hander Chad Patrick struggled on the mound, giving up the first five runs. Manager Pat Murphy,
you know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced being in that spot, so maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through five.
So the Braves leave town, winning the series 2-1. The Brewers beginning a four-game home series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. NBA Finals, the Pacers, led by Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton, hosting the Thunder tonight. That series tied one game apiece. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Wide receiver Bo Melton asked what his brother, Max Bolton, a defensive back for the Cardinals, had to say when he learned that he was trying out at defensive back.
Yeah, so when he seen it, he called me like, what the hell are you doing? Just because, you know, I've been playing wide out. This is something that, you know, came up. I'm going to, you know, give it a shot.
That's the Packers' Bo Melton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, a few showers and thunderstorms around. We'll have mostly cloudy skies, light and variable winds. Overnight lows will drop back into the low to mid-50s. Thursday, showers, a few thunderstorms around, mostly cloudy skies, highs of the lower 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be live from Shawnee, Wisconsin, where we'll be talking with some of the Democratic Party people locally about living in a red county in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too. I mean, I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is here. Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of stuff coming up on the show today. Brad Sturmer is the principal at Winskill Elementary School, which is in southwestern Wisconsin, kind of near B-Town, in that southwestern corner.
B-Town.
And they're trying a new way of teaching math.
Love it.
I'm very excited about this, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from Principal Sturmer about how this works, what is different about this. I remember a number of years ago when they started talking about new math. Remember that?
Yes, and I've heard my friends who are parents
complain about
pull their hair out like, new math. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't think that's what this is.
No.
And you're right. From everything that I had heard about that new math, from what I had heard from various parents on the internet was basically it takes you three pages to get to the same answer.
I think it takes three pages for us to get to the answer, whereas kids are like, you're making it much harder than it
needs to be.
Yeah.
So Principal Brad Sturmer is going to be joining us in hour number two after the 10 o'clock news. So I hope you can stick around for that. Rich Smith, longtime friend of mine and co-founder of the 6th Street Theater in Racine, co-founder of Over Our Head Players. They have done remarkable, remarkable things.
Oh, yeah. What's their big winter show again?
Snowdance.
Snowdance.
They perform short plays. They get entries from all over the world now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little Racine. It's a global hub for theater.
Racine is a great place that does not get their flowers enough, in my opinion.
I would agree.
That's what I believe.
I would agree. So Rich Smith joining us in hour number two after the 10:30 news. And we will wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Human Popsicle Edition. Stick around for that. Greg is just shaking his head.
Europe.
Don't forget, we got a couple more days left, 3 days.
Yeah.
For our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest after 11 o'clock. Listen for Greg and me to give you the keyword you want to text in via the Civic Media app only. And you could pick up either a hot $100 in cash.
Hot cash.
Or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level seats. And then everyone is in the drawing for the grand prize. A summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo with gas money to get you there. So be listening after 11 o'clock. And keep in mind, spelling counts.
Yes, it does.
Because I was watching yesterday as the entries were coming in and there were many, many, many spelled incorrectly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're not going to be entered that way.
Correct. And you have to come in through the Civic Media app. You can't text us, can't call it in, can't even email it, because that's all happened in the past.
Yeah. So, yes, be listening after 11 o'clock. Get your phone ready with the Civic Media app and then text in that keyword for some wonderful and fabulous prizes. You could be a winner just like Dave from Seymour, who is listening in Green Bay on WGBW, or Stella. I'm sorry, Sheila in Phillips, listening on WCQM Park in Park Falls.
Park Falls. I don't know. It's
near Butternut.
Near Butternut. Nowhere near Amory.
It is not near Amory. But Butternut, my new favorite place. I've never been. I just like knowing that there is a Butternut, Wisconsin. Knowing it exists just makes me happy.
I love that there's a You Bet, Wisconsin. Because like, oh, you bet.
Oh, you betcha.
Oh, you bet.
You betcha. So, yes, be ready for that after 11 o'clock. And please remember that spelling counts. Wanted to start off with just talking a little bit about the situation in Los Angeles. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass yesterday issued orders for a curfew for about a mile section in downtown Los Angeles. Yeah. Started at 8 o'clock last night, ended at 6 this morning in order to stop bad actors from taking advantage of the situation. There were obviously some protests against ICE raids that had happened in Los Angeles. I believe it was Friday this all started. Mm-hmm. There has been some violence. There has been some looting. There were about 100 people that were arrested, I believe, yesterday. But for the most part, this hasn't, they're not burning down buildings. Downtown Los Angeles is not burning.
Yeah, it's a peaceful protest. The people who are protesting with the goal in mind, which is to stop the ICE raids in Los Angeles and making a statement around the country, this is being peaceful. And they're promoting it as such. It's like, please do not do those things. You're not with us if you loot, if you burn cars.
If you cause violence. Yeah. You are working at cross purposes. So that is the situation right now. Pretty interesting to see the different things coming out of Washington, depending upon which side of the aisle you were on. And this made me stop yesterday when I saw this and go, what? Speaker of the House Mike Johnson talking to reporters on the difference in his attitude toward the protests going on in Los Angeles versus the attack against our Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Here is Mike Johnson's quote from yesterday. Everybody wants me to relitigate January 6th. I'm not going to do that. There's a very clear distinction between the two. He says the LA rioters are destroying property, unquote. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was over $2 million worth of damages done when the insurrectionists attacked the Capitol on January 6th of 2021.
Yep, they did.
And they were attacking our officers.
They were looking to attack elected officials.
That too.
And they were breaking windows and breaking structures and stealing things and defecating in certain spots of the building. This was a violent attack on this country, not just a piece of property. Like, I'm not for anyone getting their property stolen, burned, looted, but if he's making a case to say they're destroying property in Los Angeles, well, last time I checked, those now pardoned traitors to this country destroyed and burned a very valuable piece of property in this country, which is the U.S. Capitol. So I think it's a lot. There's a lot of comparisons that can be made. And the fact that Mike Johnson doesn't want to, quote, relitigate it says a lot that he...
They just can't back away from it fast enough.
No.
They really can't.
No. And it would have been, honestly, this is what would have been one of those things where, like, the first week after, everyone pretty much agreed that this was a horrible...
After January 6th.
Yes. It was a horrible, horrible event. And then it became fashionable to say, well, we don't know. We don't know who was really there.
Well, then it became a tourist visit.
Became a tour. Oh yeah, they were tourists. They were walking between the velvet ropes, so they of course were following the rules. And then their big thing is like, well, no police officers died that day. That day, Jane. That day, but they don't talk about the five who were either died or permanently affected by it. But yeah, I'm sorry. I get really, when we talk about January 6th, I get really mad because to me, there's no clearer case of traitorous insurrection that's ever happened in this country. Period. And for Mike Johnson to hand wave it away, to be like, it's totally different and Los Angeles is incredibly worse.
Yeah, everyone wants me to relitigate January 6th. Hey, Mike Johnson, you're the one who is still sitting on that plaque.
Yeah.
To honor the officers who protected our Capitol on January 6th, there is a plaque that was supposed to have gone up. It's at least 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. It's just still sitting there. Yeah.
It's still sitting there.
Yeah.
Because they cannot admit that this was an attack on America and our Constitution because they were doing it in support of Donald Trump.
But back the blue, Jane.
Right.
Back the blue.
Well, and then Donald Trump, I believe yesterday, also said at one point in one of his messages about what's happening in Los Angeles, if you spit, will hit. Now, for one thing, I don't know. Spitting is revolting, and I don't know why anyone would spit on another human being. I think it's reprehensible. But he didn't have a problem. He pardoned all the people who attacked our officers on January 6th.
Yeah.
And for all we know, some of these guys are now part of ICE.
Well,
we don't know.
Yeah. I think that if we're going to talk about Los Angeles. I mean, the thing is, this is absolutely, once again, they did this with the BLM protests in 2020. There was any sort of rioting, any sort of violence that may have happened in this worldwide protest that brought in millions of people to march to the streets of cities all over the globe. The few people who did anything wrong, in contrast to all the people who participated, they're the problem. That's what they always focus on. If there's a little bit of violence, if there's whatever, that's what they focus on, because they don't want to sit there and say, well, maybe there's a problem with ICE just going in and raiding without identification, with masks on, going to ceremonies, going to workplaces, going to grocery stores, going to all these different places to just pick people off the street and throw them in jail in South America. There's no self actualization or realization or self-reflection on that, much like in 2020, where it was like, I don't want to make any sort of self-reflective comment on the problem with the police and the community. It's those tens of millions of people who protested around the country. They're terrible because there was rioting and looting, even though there's very few examples of that. It's always going to be the worst actors are going to become the absolute example of what's happening.
And be representative of everyone who was there, of everyone who was there.
Yeah.
There was a protest in Milwaukee yesterday. The crowd made their way to the U.S. Immigration and Custom Enforcement offices. Again, there were no reports of violence that I have seen. Good.
Yes.
There's no excuse for that. And unfortunately, when you set things on fire and you start looting, that plays into this narrative. Mm-hmm. They're also saying, many people are saying, that these are paid protesters. For some reason, it is impossible for some Republicans to get their head around the fact that not everyone is excited about the Trump agenda. And that people would actually do this on their own. Mm-hmm. We've asked numerous times if anyone has ever gotten a check from George Soros, please send us the pay stub.
Yeah.
I would love to see it.
Yeah. If you're going to make that claim, which goes also back to the original point of they don't have anything else, so they have to make these wild, inaccurate, almost comically funny claims of George Soros is paying them. Is he paying them cash? That's a lot of physical cash. Is he giving them a check?
Yeah, there's lots of handoffs going on.
There has to be a paper trail. I'm really surprised there hasn't been some kook liar nutbag who's just
made one up,
taken a picture of a $20 bill and said, I got my Soros money, but there's no check. There's no paper trail. There's never been. No one has. And I'm talking about the people who don't like Donald Trump, who march against Donald Trump. They're not paid either. They didn't get, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no proof whatsoever. So this narrative of George Soros is paying everybody. No, get a new line.
It would be refreshing.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
It's exhausting, Jane, because you would think at some point those narratives would just wither away because a majority would have the opinion of like, that's ridiculous. But there are a lot of people who still believe it. They believe that all of Los Angeles
is burning
to the ground. They think that the BLM protests were a terrorist. They think January 6th was nothing more than FBI and Antifa. Like,
oh yeah, it was right. They were FBI agitators.
Yeah, they still push it because they don't have their, wait for it, research done.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We will continue this. You can also join us on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, what a prize I had to pay for loving you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 2 to 4, Todd Albus Show across the network. He will be joined by Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Nice.
And also Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project at 2:30. Dan Schaefer going to be joining.
Mm-hmm.
Civic Media's political editor, founder of the Recombobulation Area, has a new piece out that we're going to talk about after the bottom of the hour news.
Yeah.
And then in the 3 o'clock hour, join Todd today for What's Worse. Today it is the end of life celebrations. That should be fascinating.
End of life celebrations. What's worse?
There's all kinds of possibilities there.
Welcome to my I'm gonna die party.
Yesterday it was pizza. Today it's death.
Yeah.
You never know what it's gonna be. I know it's a great segment.
Yeah.
It's kind of like our audio sorbet where they take a little break away from the news. Yeah. Join Todd today from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to talk a little bit about prices. We were talking about Los Angeles, of course, and the deployment of the National Guard and also some U.S. troops not requested by Governor Newsom or the California Attorney General or the mayor of Los Angeles or the L.A. Police chief. But the Pentagon has set the price tag for the 60-day L.A. troop deployment at $134 million.
60 days, too. 60 days?
60 days.
$134 million. Well, Jane, what I would like to do with that $134 million is I'm going to take that because this is a performative show of force. And I'm going to just tack that onto the $45 million that's going to cost us for the parade, the birthday party. I'm sorry, I guess Chuck E. Cheese was booked up that day.
Yeah, couldn't have it there.
So we're going to have a birthday party on Saturday.
In D.C.
In D.C. for El Presidente, dear leader. So I'm just going to put that on top of that. So $45 million on top of the $134 million. So that's about $179 million so far.
But we don't have money problems.
Don't have money problems.
You know, we don't need to cut SNAP or take food away from hungry children or, I don't know, kick people off their health insurance or, oh, wait, we are doing that.
Yeah. Yep.
But we've got almost $200 million to shell out for this vanity parade, which is essentially what it is.
Well,
because we looked up, it is not just the Army that has their 250th birthday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So does the Navy.
The Navy as well. It's October the 13th.
And so do the Marines.
The Marines. Well, they don't celebrate 250, I think.
No.
But still, they have birthdays every year.
They have birthdays. There are birthdays for other branches of the military this year.
Yeah.
Not having parades on those days.
Nah.
I wonder why that is.
It says a lot that they're not going to have one for the Navy. They're going to be 250. It's October the 13th. That's Tiffany Trump's birthday.
There's a perfect excuse.
No birthday party happening for her, which says a lot about where she falls in the children's popularity.
What's really interesting about this is that there are reports this morning from Politico that a whole bunch of Republicans aren't going to be at the parade.
What?
Senate Majority Leader John Thune and Majority Whip John Barrasso will not be there. Also, not attending Dear Leader's big parade on Saturday, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. House Speaker Mike Johnson's office did not respond at the time. Of course he'll be there. Of course
there will be consequences if he doesn't show
Absolutely.
Up. And you better bring a present.
Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma will not be there. Senators Lindsey Graham and Rick Scott also not going to be there. Also skipping out on the big, beautiful parade to celebrate Trump's 79th birthday, House Freedom Caucus Chair Andy Harris. You know who will be there? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, God. I think it's cute that we're saying $45 million.
It's going to be high?
It's going to be way more than that.
Much higher.
It's going to be way more than that. They're going to be outfitting actors to be in the parade. They're going to be the Army has committed to repairing any damages that it's caused to the streets or the properties.
These tanks are expected to rip these streets up.
And they're also shutting down at least DCA, which is the national airport, aka Ronald Reagan Airport, which I get yelled at every time I call it that. But they're shutting that down for like 3 hours. That's going to cost money too. They're going to have to divert flights because they were probably selling flights before this decision was made. So, yeah, this has a huge cost, a huge price tag. And I would like, once again, please, anyone out there who thinks we're wrong, that we're liberal commie trash, tell us why this is a good idea.
And why this is justifiable.
And then tell me in the same breath you are fiscally responsible.
Calvin, with a little correction here, the Marine Corps turns 227 next month.
Ah, the never.
Thank you for that, Calvin.
Never mind. No parade for you.
But again, sorry, Navy.
Yeah.
Your 250th anniversary doesn't fall on Trump's birthday, so you don't get a parade. Or maybe they will.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't. That's not till October.
Maybe
we'll just do these, you know, a couple times a year.
Seasonally.
Yeah, we'll just do them a couple times a year for his big birthday parade.
I have a feeling, and we can talk about this more tomorrow, that it's not going to be as available on the TVs as you think, but we'll discuss.
Are we going to say, hang on to that?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We have news coming up next, and then we're going to talk about Dan Schaefer's column in the recombobulation area that dropped yesterday. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For loving you.
your heart to do what's right, but you only wrecked my life. Oh, what a price I had to pay for loving you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home, for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sources tell CBS News U.S. officials have been told Israel is fully ready to launch an operation into Iran. It comes amid rising tensions and talks between the U.S. and Iran over its nuclear program. President Trump saying
they can't have a nuclear weapon. Very simple. They can't have a nuclear weapon. We're not going to allow that.
The State Department has told non-essential personnel at U.S. embassies in Baghdad, Bahrain, and Kuwait to leave. The U.S. and China say they've agreed on a framework to resolve their trade dispute. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says President Trump
spoke to his trade team, who did a fantastic job negotiating this on behalf of the United States and meeting with their Chinese counterparts. The president is talking to them about the details of it now. I'm picking up
good vibrations. The Beach Boys made California surf rock popular. Brian Wilson was the visionary. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988, the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2000, and his family says he has died at age 82. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Brewers fall to the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Braves today, 6-2. Milwaukee right-hander Chad Patrick struggled on the mound, giving up the first five runs. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced being in that spot, so maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through five.
So the Braves leave town, winning the series 2-1. The Brewers beginning a four-game home series tomorrow night against the St. Louis Cardinals. NBA Finals, the Pacers, led by Oshkosh native Tyrese Halliburton, hosting the Thunder tonight. That series tied one game apiece. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Wide receiver Bo Melton asked what his brother, Max Bolton, a defensive back for the Cardinals, had to say when he learned that he was trying out at defensive back.
Yeah, so when he seen it, he called me like, what the hell are you doing? Just because, you know, I've been playing wide out. This is something that, you know, came up. I'm going to, you know, give it a shot.
That's the Packers' Bo Melton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Many birthdays in one's life are milestones. There is turning 10, which is double digits. 21, you can get into bars legally. And 35, you can be president. For actress Elizabeth Hurley, turning 60 means she gets to post a pic on social media appearing in her literal birthday suit. That's right, naked at 60 and on social media are words that are typically abhorrent at best, but not for 0.00001% of the population, and that is Elizabeth Hurley and probably three other people. Hurley has starred in such films as Charlie's Angels, Austin Powers, and of course, Christmas in the Caribbean. This birthday story gets a little weirder when her son commented on the photo saying, "Happy birthday, Mama." So sweet. Again, probably 0.0001% of kids that wouldn't be mortified at a naked picture of a 60-year-old parent on Instagram. And to make things even weirder, and before you think you might have a shot, fellas, she's dating Billy Ray Cyrus, who calls her the love of his life. Who else has an achy breaky heart right now? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, a few showers and thunderstorms around. We'll have mostly cloudy skies, light and variable winds. Overnight lows will drop back into the low to mid 50s. Thursday, showers, a few thunderstorms around, mostly cloudy skies, highs of the lower 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein with an update from the Capitol. Also, Chad Holmes and Sean O'Malley on Your Money and the Markets.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we're going to talk to the principal of Winskill Elementary School, which is in the southwestern part of Wisconsin. Brad Sturmer is going to join us to talk about the new way that they are teaching math. Mm-hmm. And they also have a literacy program that we're going to discuss. But I'm very, very curious about that. They've had a lot of success with this. I'm assuming it's not just someone giving them answers, because that's what I would go for. I can improve your performance in math here.
The answers are in the back of the book.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Show your work.
Brad Sturmer will be joining us coming up after the 10 o'clock news. Rich Smith after 10:30, the co-founder of the Sixth Street Theater and Over Our Head Players and so very much more. Sixth Street Theater located here in Racine, and they're remarkable. I have, full disclosure, I've known Rich for decades. I've done shows with them, had the great honor of doing shows with them, so we go back a long way.
But nice.
What they have helped bring to the Racine community and what they've done to help revitalize the downtown area and 6th Street in particular has really been impressive.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Wanted to talk about this a little bit because this is making news, as it should.
Yeah.
Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area where you can subscribe. It's an absolute deal. Dan Schaefer says, pass the torch. Tony Evers should not run for a third term as Wisconsin governor. Love to hear from you on this. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can call and or text. Should Governor Tony Evers run for term number 3? Or no? It's a pretty Wisconsin way to phrase that.
I think that I don't disagree with Dan. I really don't. And that comes from that statement is based in a bigger discussion on term limits, on age, on once again, passing the torch, which I actually believe is applicable to both parties, to any party, really, when the people in charge are either getting older or getting to the point where they're not making the best decisions, or they're like, you know, I'm thinking of Congress and Senate. Like, there are people in the Congress and Senate who are obviously making decisions that are not, I feel, in the best interest of the people. And that goes for both sides of the aisle. But with Tony,
how many Democrats have died in office so far this year?
Yeah, it's two have died in office. Five politicians have died since the election, I believe.
And they're all Democrats.
I believe they're all Democrats. But I think that, you know, there is a problem, at least in the Democratic Party, where there is not a lot of like looking for great candidates. They're hoping that they'll pop up and appear. But the fielding of candidates, going out there and looking for those.
Recruiting.
Thank you. Looking for older people, or just looking for community leaders and saying, all right, so-and-so, you are great. We want to run you for this position. And then in a few years, we'll look at this and that. But instead, like right now, you can name a bunch of Democrats who can run for the primary, but are they the best options right now?
Right.
And I'm afraid that Tony Evers is going to look at it like and say this kind of the same thing Joe Biden did last year, which is, well, I can fix this. I can take care of it. Well, yeah, because there has been no link to anyone else taking over. So Joe Biden was supposed to be a bridge. He called himself that. He was going to run for one term and he was going to be a bridge.
Right.
Then all of a sudden he's running again for office. And I think that was a surprise to some people. And then he's out and Kamala Harris gets 90 days. I think with Tony Evers, he needs to make this decision now.
And I think that's the part of the point in Dan's column.
Yeah.
Is let's not stretch this out.
But also, I think there's a responsibility on Tony Evers as well as the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which is to say, let's not have a 10-person primary. I'm not saying don't have a primary. That's not what I'm saying at all. Well, maybe I am. And I'm sorry if you think that's undemocratic. But I also feel like in this day and age, we need to rally the troops sooner than later. And there is a bunch of comedy that comes along with watching a bunch of leaders in the same party dunk on each other for 2, 3, 4, 5 months.
Right.
And then they're all like, oh, but the guy is great.
I love him.
Oh, we're the best of friends.
I love this guy.
Even though I said he was mostly a Trump supporter, I was kidding. So that's the problem is I feel like regardless of what Dan says in the article, which is it says clearly in there, he does not think that Tony Evers should run again. I think that it might get to the point where it's going to be too late. He needs to make a decision now. We're a little less than a year and a half away from the election itself.
Right.
But we have to go through a primary, and you got guys on the other side who are jumping up saying, "I'll do it. I'll be the GOP governor."
Well, and Tony Evers has said that he's not going to announce until after the state budget is completed.
Well, and last time I checked, they're not even talking about that.
And that could be when. Lots of comments coming in on the live stream. John says, boo, can't blame him as the pressures have to be immense. He's not getting any younger, but who is on deck at this point? And Tony also in the live stream, run, Tony, run, but maybe have a primary to kick the tires. I haven't seen any declines in Evers. I would love for him to be able to actually enact his agenda for the benefit of the state.
I think if you're saying maybe have a primary to kick the tires, that to me, that is saying have a primary just to see, just so you can have one. If you want Tony Evers, then you want Tony Evers. And you're not going to
have a primary.
I don't think you're going to entertain anybody in the primary, then you're doing it for show. Can't blame him as the pressures have to be. But yes, absolutely. Being the leader of a state, a city.
He's 73.
Yeah.
Tony's
and
73.
I don't want to have to wait for cognitive decline. I'm not talking about cognitive decline. Dan discusses that a lot in the article, especially in terms of Joe Biden. And Tom on the live stream says, Tony Evers is not Joe Biden. That is very true. That is a factual statement in reality. But my point is, I think there is something to be said about any politician. And I'm thinking of some Democrats in Congress right now where it's time to just say, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to hand this off to somebody else, someone I trust. And this is the person, or these are the individuals I see as the right people to entertain for the job. I think if he runs again, the point of a primary is almost pointless because he's going to be the guy.
Right.
He's going to be the guy. And then there are people, Democrats in this state, who might not want that. Who might not want someone who's just a foregone conclusion. And unless the Democrats make gains in the Senate and the Assembly, we're going to be right back where we started from.
855-752-4842. We're talking about Dan Schaefer in the recombobulation area out with a new column. We will discuss this more with him on Friday when he joins the show. But should Tony Evers run for a third term? 855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for joining us. What do you think?
I think he should run. I'm a big fan of Tony Evers. Everybody would complain, oh, he's not in front of the TV enough. He's not talking out enough. He is a workhorse, not a show horse. Every time I call his office, I don't know him personally, don't know anybody in his office. I get calls returned. Most of the people I know that call his office, he's an outstanding governor. He was out there patching roads. He's been down on our side of the state more than any other governor that in the history of Wisconsin that I'm aware of. He is a good governor, and Republicans like him. Independents like him. I know some diehard Republicans. They like him. So I don't see any problem with this, and I think starting out with somebody new, with the way these people are and money that's going to be coming in, people feel secure with him. You know, he may not be out there banging a drum, but he is doing work, and he's talking to the people, and he comes to our side of the state frequently. And he's good with kids, and he cares about them, and yeah, he's a great guy. Okay. Can't ask for a better guy. So that's just my opinion with the way things are right now in our country.
Really appreciate it, Gene. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I like Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. I think Tony Evers is a great guy, and I especially love, and some people might use this to make fun of him, but I love the fact that he is not polished and slick and all of those things that we see from some other politicians. He's a very genuine human being.
I don't disagree with that, but I also disagree with what Gene was saying, though. It's like, if you're the governor and you are the head of the state and you are in a very tumultuous state with a lot of division politically, you have to be a bit of a show horse. And that's one of the things that Tony Evers has really not done well. And that's to their detriment, which is...
You mean to come out and say, here's what I'm doing.
It's not bragging. You're talking about your achievements. That's a laudable thing. That's important that people... You know, Gene talked about the independents and the Republicans that like him. We need more of people to know that. And when you don't talk about those achievements, like Joe Biden did during his presidency, people are going to be like, well, he's a terrible governor. Do you know what he did? He's done a lot for this state, and he's trying to do more for this state. I don't dislike Tony Evers. I like him as a governor, and I like him as a person. But if he's going to run again, there has to be a concerted effort to be the front guy, to be the one out there talking about his achievements at all costs, because he's got to shut down the narrative that he's done nothing.
Right.
Because it's out there, because anybody who doesn't like you is going to say, well, what has he done? Talk about it. Say something.
That's a good point. 855-7. He's got to be more braggy.
Yes.
Got to be a little more braggadocious.
He doesn't even have to be. Send other people out there to do it
to talk
for
about
him.
It.
Like, it's not that hard. How many times have we talked on this show about the time we're like, why aren't they talking about these things?
855-752-4842. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I think if the Democrats are going to have a primary, that they need to stand on one thing, and that's to get all money out of politics and have public funding of campaigns. And the thing is, in Wisconsin, when you have how much money was spent in that Supreme Court race, that's just the regular race. So I think what the Democrats need to do, if they're serious about getting money out of politics, is they need to say, in our primaries, you are not going to have money in politics.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. And I think they want money in their politics right now because they need to run to survive. But
well, especially if somebody like, because I really think they're going to tap Eric Hovde again. I think the Republicans are going to tap Eric Hovde
so pathetic.
Because he can help pay for it because he's got the cash. He can at least fund some of it himself. And I think that that's going to be attractive.
Yeah.
And Bill on the live stream says, if we use your thinking that it's time that Tammy steps down, we all know that progressives in the state want Ben. No, thank you.
Ben Wickler for governor?
I haven't seen that, Bill.
I don't know anybody who wants, and this is nothing against Ben Wickler. I don't know anyone of putting Ben Wickler into the mix of that. I've heard him talk about, I've heard discussions of Congress, but there's a huge field of people, Democratic stars in the state, but they're stars. Are they effective leaders?
You can join us. Join the conversation. 855-752-4842. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
After all the things we've done, I'm seeing you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years? Sowing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys?
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for the keyword that you want to text in as part of our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest.
Who will give that keyword, Jane?
You and I. You Wait. And me.
Yeah, you and me.
You and me.
You and me.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
You and me. We'll be giving the keyword after 11 o'clock. You want to text it in via the Civic Media app, and then you will be in the running for either a hot $100 in cash or a pair of tickets to see the Brewers club-level seats. And then everyone who enters is in the drawing for the grand prize trips. So Scotty Summer, a getaway either in Baraboo or Door County with gas money to get you there. Nice. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for that keyword. You have 4 chances a day through this Friday in the 7, 11, 2 o'clock with Todd, and 4 p.m. with Maggie Dawn. So be listening again. Your next shot coming up with Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Keyword coming your way after 11 o'clock, spelling counts.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get it right.
Yeah.
Because I saw a whole bunch of entries coming in that were wrong yesterday. And we would like you to get entered. So that's coming up after 11 o'clock. Did want to spend a little time on this because I remember last year, was it last year or earlier this year? No, it was last year when Western North Carolina was hit so hard. Mm-hmm. By flooding after one of the hurricanes that had come ashore in Florida. And this was not something that they expected because of the topography of the area. But that area is still struggling. And the Biden administration got all kinds of heat for allegedly, which wasn't true, using FEMA money to house illegal immigrants. But there was all kinds of criticism coming from the right on the Biden administration isn't doing anything to help these people, and that's, you know, terrible, terrible. Well, I got news for you. President Trump has announced they will be phasing out FEMA. After this year's hurricane season, emergency managers around the country say they are baffled. This is a complete misunderstanding of the role of the federal government in emergency management and disaster recovery, a FEMA leader says. It is clear from the president's remark that their plan is to limp through this hurricane season and then dismantle FEMA. Donald Trump says that governors should be able to handle it. This should be handled, disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes and all those things. This should be handled by the state level, saying governors should be able to handle it. And if they can't handle it, then maybe they shouldn't be governor. Western North Carolina, by the way, is still in trouble. There are parts of Arkansas that are still in trouble. There are areas of Kansas that are still in trouble. And we are just at the beginning of hurricane season.
And we've seen Republican leaders begging for help. Josh Hawley comes to mind.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yep. It's
FEMA has already entered this year's hurricane season understaffed and unprepared. Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, says FEMA fundamentally needs to go away as it exists. We all know from the past, FEMA has failed thousands, if not millions of people. President Trump does not want to see that continue in the future, so we're going to let their state government fail them?
I mean, that's the thing. That's a couple of things that really just grind my gears. Burn my grits. They burn my grits. One, this statement has failed thousands, if not millions. Okay, show me the proof. Show your work. What has happened? And has FEMA responded to any of those failings? Because I'm sure FEMA doesn't want to fail people, but money constraints,
manpower,
staffing constraints, cooperation from government leaders constraints. But also the other thing, too, is they have failed. So instead of trying to make it better to help, we're just going to get rid of it altogether because this is a zero sum game. Yeah. And if it's not helping, it's a failure and get rid of it. And that's it. Done.
Federal and state emergency managers warn most states do not have the budget or the resources to replace FEMA infrastructure, even if the U.S. government offers some assistance. But Donald Trump and Kristi Noem have made it pretty clear that they're going to be cutting back on that. President Trump said yesterday the FEMA thing has not been a very successful experiment. It's extremely expensive. And again, when you have a tornado or a hurricane or if you have a problem of any kind in a state, that's what you have governors for. They're supposed to fix those problems. So suck it up, buttercup, I guess.
So California Gavin Newsom is threatening to withhold their taxes to the U.S. government. Is that what Wisconsin should do too? If we're not going to get money from the state or from the federal government to mitigate these problems, then we shouldn't have to pay certain monies to the federal government that would have been used for dispersal for essentially a nationwide shared revenue dispersal. If Wisconsin's on the hook for these things, guess what, folks? They'll never get paid for. Because as it stands right now, this state house in Madison will pay for nothing. They'll do nothing.
They're pretty consistent about
Robin
that.
Robin DeVos will find a he'll call it meteorological welfare. That's what he'll call it. We don't do welfare in this state. And if your house was hit by a tornado, that's, I guess it's your fault for your house being there.
Well, I just really feel for all the folks who are struggling now and will be struggling.
Yeah.
Because again, we're just at the beginning of the hurricane season. Although, wait, I forgot. The weather machine that Democrats controlled under President Biden is now under control of the Republicans. Mm. So we won't have any more. We won't have any more hurricanes unless they didn't read the manual. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A management exodus at FEMA 2 weeks into hurricane season, with the head of the agency's National Response Coordination Center submitting his resignation today. And sources also telling CBS News a regional administrator is doing the same. KMOX's Sean Malone in St. Louis asked some FEMA employees about how they're feeling about President Trump's plan to eventually phase out FEMA.
That question was posed to senior FEMA official Willie Nunn, who is leading the response efforts in St. Louis following last month's tornado.
I would be untruthful to tell you it doesn't affect staff. Yes, it affects staff. It affects morale.
However, Nunn says despite the uncertainty, FEMA employees are focused on their mission of helping people impacted by disasters. Sean Malone for CBS News, St. Louis.
ICE agents have intensified workplace raids in Los Angeles. CBS's Carter Evans is there.
Now, the immigration raids have been underway for 6 days, and officials with the Department of Homeland Security tell CBS News